We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for the next fiscal year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Coming off the Mother's Day weekend on this Monday afternoon, we're going to spend some time talking about motherhood. Not only mothers as we ordinarily find them in life, but also a mother often unacknowledged by Christians, Mother Church. Now, that might sound somewhat unusual. It is not the product of any kind of radical feminism. It is an idea with a long history in Christian thought and theology, and we'll explore it a little bit during the next half hour of the program with Pastor David Shaddy. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor David Shaddy is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Indianapolis. He conducts seminars titled The Gospel and the Christian Family. David, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks so much.
What's wrong with the pastor getting in the pulpit on Mother's Day and preaching kind of the Ode to St. Mom sermon, where mom, you know, mom, we know how hard it is putting up with your husband and your kids, but keep up the good work, girl. You're doing great. Atta girl. And oddly enough, about a month later, Father's Day, dad gets kind of blasted from the pulpit on Father's Day. What's wrong with the first kind of preaching, the Ode to St. Mom preaching?
Well, the Ode to St. Mom preaching doesn't acknowledge a couple of things. And number one is that moms are sinners, and number two is that moms know it. You know, probably there is more guilt associated with motherhood by mothers themselves and probably any relationship in the world. And, you know, moms don't need to have this flowery language and be told they're something that in their heart of hearts they don't think they are. They need to recognize that they are sinful. They need to recognize that Jesus Christ died for their sins, and they need to recognize that God is at work in them to do this wondrous thing. That, you know, it's not a matter of, you know, me standing up in the pulpit and saying, oh, you mothers, how wonderful you are, blah, 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 although it may very well be true. But to say, look at the grace that God has given you and the grace that he has given to other people by means of his ministry through you. And that, you know, that really is a wondrous acknowledgement. Not that, you know, you do this or you do that, because moms are convinced they really haven't. But to say, Christ died for your sins, and look and see and understand that God is at work in you to do these things. And on the flip side, then, you know, you come along with fathers, and yeah, they tend to get hammered, because you haven't lived up to the standard, and the standard, of course, being God, our Heavenly Father. And you know, the same sermon needs to be preached to dads. Your sins are forgiven, and God is at work in you to show our Heavenly Father to your children by the ministry and the care and the love that he is at work in you doing.
It seems as though that's a pretty nice segue into a motherhood that's often unacknowledged here, and that is how the church, instituted by Christ, both gives life and sustains life for each and every Christian, whether they're mother, father, or child. Talk about that idea as church as an institution of Christ, but that can be understood as mother to us all.
Well, the church is the earthly connection, the bride of Christ, which is described all over in Scripture. And that bride of Christ, which he has created, is the earthly connection that God has with us. The church is the means through which God's children are born through baptism and conversion. The church is the means through which God's children are nourished through the Word and the sacraments, through the grace that God gives to his people. And so you have in this wonderful, you know, scriptural vision of the church as bride of Christ and as mother of God's children, of this incredible ministry that goes on, that here is something that Jesus Christ has purchased with his blood and has given us within the privilege of being his body and his bride. And you know, the interesting thing about it is that the church is described as the body of Christ and as the bride of Christ in the same sentence in Ephesians chapter 5. Now, they have to be the same teaching because it's in the same sentence. So here you have this wonderful body of Christ that, as his bride, he uses for this incredible purpose, that by the grace of Almighty God, within the bride, the church, God's children are born through baptism and faith, and God's children are nurtured through the ministry of word and sacrament in a way that carries through to eternal life.
So the picture, I'm thinking about back to yesterday, and Mother's Day is celebrated by so many churches, a missed opportunity to talk about our earthly mothers as pale pictures, but pictures nonetheless of how Christ gives life and how Christ sustains life for sinners like you and me.
Absolutely. It is an opportunity to do two things. Number one, to affirm who we are as God's people, the bride of Christ, the church. And that needs to be repeated. It needs to be repeated that we are those who reach out to bring the gospel to people. We are those who bring our children to baptism, and we are those who continually nurture faith. That is who we are. The function of the church is relatively simple: give and sustain life as God gives us the grace to do so. But it also, in the whole motherhood thing, it is an opportunity to affirm that which is in these dear souls that they so desperately desire to do. You know, one of the things that really bothers me about our society is the hypocrisy of yesterday. You know, all over the television and advertising and, you know, on every program that was in any way live, they, you know, oh, we wanted today recognize our mothers, blah, 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 blah. And yet tomorrow, many of those same people are going to be lined up at the abortion clinic. Many of those same people are going to walk into classrooms and teach young women, whatever you do, don't be like them. Don't be these sacrificial people who put their lives on the line to give birth in the first place and then take the time and energy to love and care for and nurture and consider those kids to be more important than themselves.
So how would you summarize society's general attitude about mothers and motherhood beyond the Hallmark call cards and all the platitudes that we bring out one day a year?
Beyond the Hallmark cards, I think, honestly, we are attempting as a society to veil, if not bury, this institution. Like I say, people are standing in line to kill their children. The insanity of our attitude toward life is unbelievable. And you know, you look at my generation, the baby boomers, through whom, you know, the abortion has really become a big issue and has blossomed into what it is. We all look back with fondness at our mothers. We all look at the sacrifices they made on our behalf. We all are so grateful for the time that they spent, for the care that they showed, and so forth and so on. And yet, in my generation, there is this attitude that says, you know, this is being in prison. You know, do any of these people who have these wonderful, loving memories of their moms remember their mom being imprisoned? I don't.
So let's talk about the value of the basic function here of our earthly mothers to give life and to sustain life, and at least in a physical sense. How valuable is this to our present society? Obviously, as you said just now, unrecognized, but how valuable is it really?
Well, it doesn't appear, if you watch the news and read the newspaper, it doesn't appear to be very valuable. We see the instances of abuse and neglect and so forth that are going on in our society. Certainly, there is a much higher premium placed on other vocations in life than the vocation of motherhood. And yet, if you ask individual people what they valued about their mom, they will tell you the very things that are being suppressed in our society today. And, you know, and I really think that one of the things that we need to do in the church is to hold up the body of Christ, the church, the bride of Christ, as a wonderful model for what our women ought to be in Christ, and that is people who value their children more than themselves, people who see the opportunity that they have to take these wonderful qualities that God has given them and to use them to His glory, and that means investing in their children and recognizing that the value that their children will place on them is not necessarily the monetary things or the stuff that was brought into the house or whatever, but the ways in which they contributed mightily to their children's lives. You know, I look at my wife and the love and care that she showed to my kids, and now as my kids begin to have an outpour of affection for their mom on Mother's Day and every day of the year for that matter, what is it for? It is for the time spent. It is for the sacrifice. It is for the little things. You know, and to a certain extent, I think in Luther's time, for example, he talked so often about the value of the small contributions that we make to other people's lives. And he valued motherhood not necessarily, he didn't necessarily draw this whole church thing, but he valued motherhood simply because he saw in that true sanctification.
All right, let's take a break right here. When we come back, that's a great place to go, a couple places to go. The results of Christian motherhood in the lives of children, of husbands, of society, of the church. We'll talk about that. Also, is there a danger? This is the strangest and saddest irony on a week coming off of Mother's Day to observe, but is there a danger of idolizing our children while at the same time, obviously, through the practice of legalized abortion, completely disregarding them? We'll talk about both dangers with Pastor David Shaddy after this. This is Issues, Etc.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Race, which one are you from?
Answers with Ken Ham, co-author of the popular book against racism called Darwin's Plantation.
Did you know that from a biblical perspective, there really aren't any different biological races? You see, the Bible makes it clear that all human beings are descendants of one man, Adam, and one woman, Eve. Also, the book of Acts in chapter 17 actually confirms this. You see, all humans are related, and thus they belong to the same one race. Even the scientists who recently mapped the human genome came to this conclusion. After looking at sets of genes from humans around the globe, well, they concluded there's only one race, the human race. You know, this is an example of how real science confirms what the Bible has stated all along. Even many Christians haven't understood there's only one race of humans, and that's because they've probably been influenced by evolutionary ideas to believe in different races. Sadly, this has even caused racist attitudes about people they falsely thought were from a lower race. We're trying to combat that thinking in our new creation museum. You see, the Bible is right. There's only one race.
Ken has written a fascinating booklet on this topic of races and racism. In fact, it's so good, we'd like to send you a pack of 10 of these if you give a donation of any size today. Call us toll-free at 1-888-89-ANSWERS, and we'll send these great witnessing booklets to you. That's 1-888-89-ANSWERS, or on the web at answersoffer.org.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit theclcc.org. Check us out. Get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar, too. Go to theclcc.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're talking motherhood with Pastor David Shaddy. Monday afternoon, the 11th of May, 1-877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. You were talking before the break about how Luther viewed The everyday, ordinary, banal things that make up the warp and woof of motherhood, these small tasks that go unnoticed and unappreciated, he held it up as an example of the highest sanctification. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, you know, I think sometimes the church, especially American church, super sanctifies some things. That, you know, this is a fine thing, but this, you know, this is really... And one of those things that I have never seen on the super sanctified list is simple acts of kindness and love by a mother for her children. And yet, is there anything more wonderful than the sacrifice of time? And you know, in so many cases of lifestyle, you know, that mothers make for their kids. You know, I look back on my own mom, and I remember and see the things about her that really wouldn't stand out to anybody else. It was the little things that she taught me. It was the special kinds of ways that she made things for me. It was, you know, the lullabies at bedtime and those kinds of things, and the values that were instilled in all those things, which is an incredible contribution to my life. And yet, you know, would that be something that a lot of people would hold up and say, well, you know, there is really a wonderful thing that people should aspire to? We don't seem to be, and yet, why not? Why not aspire to be somebody who spends their day contributing in every way possible to someone else's life?
Kathy's listening in St. Charles, Missouri. Thanks for waiting, Kathy. Welcome.
Yeah, this is a really good topic. And in fact, I did not go to church on Mother's Day. I did not have the ability to sit through a sermon that just lauded mothers. I've heard those before. Not every year, but I just knew that if it was that way this year, I would have to get up and leave in anger. So I just didn't go. But the thing that you were talking about that kind of hits home with me was talking about what society values, and I think also our church mimics our society and often values these same things. They value money, as you were saying. You know, if you can get paid for something you do, that's valued. And also they value, you know, hard work and that type of thing. So we had issues as with a special needs child. And the things that the church helped us with were they gave us some money to help us. They gave us some workers to come over and help us finish off a sensory room for our son. He has Down syndrome and autism. But we could not get any help with care. It didn't matter what congregation we went to, whether when we first had our son, we were at a non-denominational, we were at a Presbyterian, then we were non-denominational, and then we were at two Lutheran churches. We could not get help with the mundane. That we could not get help with. And I wonder if our society has affected our church so much that, and we needed the help so we could keep our son in our home, and we've had to give up custody of our son to get help with care. So the state now has custody of our son so we can get help with care. And we just, you know, there's only so much two people can do, and our family, you know, did nothing but care for our son for 11 years, and it just got to the point of complete exhaustion. So I think it's something our church needs to look at. It's not comfortable for us to look at ourselves, but it's something we need to.
Kathy, thank you so much. Pastor Shaddy.
Yeah, I think she brings up an outstanding point in terms of our overall work as God's people. I would recommend to anybody on the overall subject that this brings us to, the book by Pastor Matt Harrison, Christ Have Mercy. It is a real call to arms to take a good look at the cries for mercy that are going out and the answer that we're giving, if we're giving one at all. And not in a law sense, but in looking at Jesus Christ and the answer that he is for mercy, and the answer that the gifts that he gives to his church are for mercy. And, you know, should we not then, as God's people, react in ways that we have in the past, to be very honest. The church has been much more hands-on in terms of care for people in the past than in a lot of cases we are today. And, you know, I think one of the challenges that we always face is, you know, what is going on in our individual congregations? What gifts has God given us, not just in terms of the talents and abilities, but also what gifts has God given us in terms of the challenges, in terms of the trials and the struggles that are coming into our door, and how do we react to those, and how do we be a blessing to those? You know, there are so many people who live their lives in a sacrificial way who just need a little bit of time invested by somebody in terms of care and the kinds of things that she was talking about. And I really think that we need to, as congregations and as a church as a whole, really look around and say, you know, is the sort of hands-off, I don't want to get involved attitude of our society creeping into our life in the church, and to evaluate in what ways that's a bad thing, and to recognize that Jesus didn't just say, oh, isn't that too bad? He involved himself in the trials and the struggles and the tragedies that were going on in his ministry. And this is how we as the body need to be looking at for opportunities to minister in a lot of those ways. And so, you know, my prayers go out to her, and I wish that in some way I could be a blessing to her.
The old saying that we heard a lot of times around Mother's Day, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the nation. And I'm thinking about the churchly corollary to that, that often mother is the first witness. She brings the child for baptism, and then she is the first to speak the word of God to her children. Reflect on that for about a minute here, if you would, Pastor Shaddy.
Well, that certainly has been the case in my case. My mom went to heaven this past year, and I have thought so much of her since she went to be with Christ, and what I have thought about has been primarily the Christ that she contributed to my life, the sacrifice that she made, and the way that she showed me the value of sacrifice, that she was the person who prayed with me more often, that she was the person who encouraged me in my faith, that, you know, she, above all people, when I gave some inclination to wanting to be a pastor, aside from the fact that, oh, you know, my baby, and she just was such an encouragement, and she always said, I want you to do what you believe that God is calling you to do, but this would be a wonderful thing for you to do, and she was very encouraging. For a lot of us, that's our mother, the person who made those contributions to our lives, and I pray that we begin now to encourage our present mothers and our future mothers that this is a blessing from God to be passed on to their kids.
With only about a minute and a half here as we wind down, I remember as a very young father being reminded by someone, God loves your kids more than you do. And I remind myself of that daily in my failings as a father. We began our interview talking about the guilt of Christian mothers. What comfort can these moms listening to us find outside themselves in someone who loves their children more than they do?
Well, you know, moms are always, have I done enough for my kids? Have I made a great enough sacrifice and so forth and so on? And you know, will they be okay? And moms are always wanting to fix things. And the cross is the ultimate fix for all time. You know, do we as parents love our children as much as we possibly could? No, but they are already loved as much as they possibly could be by Jesus Christ. You know, probably the greatest comfort that I can give to moms is that at the end of the day, when you have loved your children, when you have tucked them in, when you have said their prayers, when you have sung their lullabies, when you have kissed their foreheads and you lay down in the assurance that they and you fulfill the words of the psalm, I will lie down in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. The cross of Jesus Christ is the shadow that covers us all as we sleep and as we wake, and His grace is sufficient for us as moms, and it will be sufficient for them as kids.
Pastor David Shaddy is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Indianapolis. He conducts seminars titled The Gospel and the Christian Family. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
I don't think I could say it better than that. It's the only comfort that we have as parents, especially for mothers who, yes, are laden with the guilt, sometimes deserved, oftentimes undeserved, but nonetheless, real or unreal, laden with this guilt, that when you've done everything you can, you know it still falls short. God loves them more. When you fear you cannot protect them, and how often and how long can you, God loves them more. And He's shown that love. He's not only demonstrated it, but He's delivered that love for you and for your children in the life lived by Jesus Christ in their place, in your place, in the suffering and the death, the sacrifice made for you and for them. God loves them more. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about 9th century missionaries to the Slavs, Cyril and Methodius, remembered on this day by the church. Pastor Greg Olms will be our guest.
Thanks to God's gift of the internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
From Japan to Oslo, Norway, here is Simon. Simon, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, I want to vote for Benny Hinn. My reason for doing so is because, Jesus, the second Adam, ascended to heaven, so I guess there's some truth to it.
Thank you very much. Apparently they have senses of humor in Norway. Thank you very much for listening in Norway.
Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, Issues Etc.
We're going to launch an online version of the Issues Etc. journal on June the 1st. And you can subscribe by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. Do Christians make progress in their good works? I've written an article for the new online journal titled Sheep Don't Keep Track. You'll also find an article detailing Pastor George Borghardt's journey from Catholicism to Lutheranism. Get your copy of the Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The next generation of pastors is more worried about driver's ed and the prom than whether or not they are being called to serve the people of God. Christ Academy is where that all changes. For 2 weeks, high school guys worship, study, and play together, and explore their future calling. It's 2 weeks that set a course toward being formed as a servant in Jesus Christ. Christ Academy, June 14 to 27. Registration is open. Call 1-800-481-2155 or visit ctsfw.edu/Christ Academy.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click Promote and publicize your congregation to the world.